welcome to the show, Dr. Jeffrey Copen. He is the Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. How are you today, Doc?
Lisa, I'm great. And I have to tell you, it's so wonderful listening to you and many of the listeners discuss jury duty. I mean, if we need any more evidence that we're on the way out of a pandemic, it's that. Isn't it wonderful? Your kid got called for jury duty. And that's an important thing to talk about right now. I just love it.
Yeah, it is. We're back. And I mean, just think, there have been people wanting to have their case heard, and they've just been sitting and waiting all this time.
Yeah, it's great. We can do this. It's possible to hold trials now with juries safely. It's going to take a while for people to get used to that and how exactly they're going to take place. But yet, not that I need to give another reason why we all need to be vaccinated, but certainly that would qualify too, right? Indoors, vaccinated. It's safe. You just don't have to worry. So get vaccinated.
I'm telling you what, I was one of those people. The day that 1B became available, I was there. In fact, I'll just be honest. I drove to Quincy, Illinois to get my first shot. Not out of just, my husband owns property there, so I wasn't fudging too much, you know. But it was important because my 93-year-old mother was living with me. And even though she had told my son and I early on, if I was to get COVID, and it came from you two, because I don't leave the house during this time, I don't want you to feel the guilt. I don't want that to burden you the rest of your life. And I'm like, well, we're not going to let that happen. And we took it pretty seriously. So what is the psychology behind Joints for Jabs in Washington State, where they're giving away free cannabis? Or on the South Side, the Sox are giving away free tickets in a vaccine clinic pop-up. So what is it that some people make the decision that, okay, now I'll do it because I'm going to get something free?
I think there are people who just need an incentive. For you, the incentive, Lisa, was clear, right? You were willing to drive 5.5 hours to Quincy to get your jab. Your mom lived with you. And that certainly was enough of an incentive. There's other people who are thinking, you know, I'll get it eventually when it's convenient, whatever it might be, it's available for me. So the little added incentive, be it, I saw that report from Washington State. They passed a law. They literally passed a law that it's okay to give a single marijuana cigarette, one joint, when you get jabbed.
Yes.
Okay. Listen, if that gets a whole bunch more people vaccinated, terrific. Just like Anna and I have been talking about for months, the idea of a shot in a shot. And indeed, that can happen now. You can get a beer when you get your injection. It's now legal under Illinois law for that. So certain people are going to need incentives, baseball tickets. You probably saw United has offered free trips to people. Whatever it takes, that's what I say right now. We just need as many people to get vaccinated as possible.
If I could get a free trip out of United, I'd want to get another shot. So let's speak about that. I mean, it's a lot of money. A lot of money vaccinating all these people. Will there be a booster, and will it be motivated by the fact that there is a lot of money to be made, or will it be motivated by the fact that it's what we definitely need?
Up until now, every decision that's been made regarding vaccines has been made for public health reasons. I mean, this is one of the great success stories in the history of medicine and science, and nobody should see it in any way. Yes, there's going to be companies like Pfizer that's going to make money off of this, but heck, why not?
Yeah,
I mean, think about what they accomplished, right?
I'm thankful. So, I'm thankful to them. They deserve their dime. They really do.
Absolutely.
They deserve that money.
And from the time that this virus got sequenced until we got the first jabs in our mouth, in our arms, you know, we're talking about months. Nothing like that has ever happened before in human history, and these vaccines are safe and they're incredibly effective. This is such an important point, Lisa. We can never overstate it. As more time goes on and we have more and more experience with this vaccine, and right now, you know, we're at the point in Illinois where over 80% of people over the age of 65 are vaccinated. It's so tremendous to be able to say that. Vaccinated people aren't getting sick. Vaccinated people are not showing up in my hospital. Vaccinated people aren't even getting infected. And those that do, it's like they have a cold. I mean, how great is that? What a tremendous accomplishment. The greatest ever, as far as I'm concerned. Now, boosters. We don't know yet. We just don't know. We don't have enough information. So the scientists at the National Institutes of Health are busy studying this in various different ways. The pharmaceutical industry is looking into it. Academic researchers of various kinds are looking into the immunology, because we're going to have to make a decision over the next couple of months. Will there be a booster required or not? There is a possibility that the answer will be no, and that's because of the tremendous effectiveness of the three available vaccines in the United States. Other countries might need to give boosters because the vaccine that they used is not as effective as ours. Mm. So I think, Lisa, we'll be talking about this over the next several months. There'll be a lot written about this. There'll be a lot of scientific studies coming out. And this will be a really interesting subject for us to follow.
Dr. Jeffrey Copin is on WGN. He's the chief medical officer for Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. You hear him on with Anna quite often. If you have a question, of course, you can give him a call and we'll put you on together. That is 312-981-7200. Here's a question. Did you hear the story about the PGA golfer? His name is John Rahm, and he had to withdraw from a tournament that he was leading over the weekend. He was coming close to winning a $1.7 million prize, and they pulled him because he tested positive for COVID. Now, had he had the shot, they wouldn't have even tested him. And there's a photo, Doc, of him bent over on the last hole they allowed him to play because his test came in, and he's weeping because he's going to miss out on $1.7 million. And his wife is pregnant, and people are wondering, why? Why, when you were, you know, a part of the PGA circuit, why wouldn't you have gotten your inoculation, your vaccine, your shot?
Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah, and there's a hashtag on Twitter that says, don't be like John, hashtag get vaccinated.
Yeah, you know, it's... I know there's people who have all kinds of explanations why they haven't been vaccinated. And I'm sure this golfer had his own reason. But, boy, I bet you he really regrets that decision right now.
Yes, yes.
Talk about an incentive. I mean, it's like that the Ohio lottery, right? Vax-a-million, right?
Right.
I love that
right.
name, Vax-a-million. Get vaccinated, qualify for a lottery to win $1 million. People who are college age, get vaccinated, and maybe you win 4 years of tuition in an in-state college, right? So, again, it all comes down to incentives, and, boy, this golfer sure blew his incentive, it seems.
Yes, he did. Do you think that since we were able to really work hard and come up with a vaccine as quickly as we did, do you think there's any hope in the future that we will see a vaccine for HIV or for herpes?
Yes, absolutely. I believe, based on what I've been reading and conversations I've been having with various colleagues, that the vaccine breakthroughs that have occurred because of COVID-19, the advancements in vaccine technology and our understanding of human immunology that's come from COVID-19 will very likely lead us to be able to create vaccines once and for all against HIV. I mean, this has been a challenge ever since the 1980s when HIV was first seen. Mm-hmm. And for herpes, the same thing. We just haven't been able to come up with a vaccine. But I am very, very hopeful, based on these breakthroughs and the continued research that's being done into vaccines and human immunology, that we're going to see some very, very important vaccines for other infectious diseases soon.
I really hope so. Hey, Douglas is on the phone. He's got a question for you. He is on a drug, and he wants to know how that affects getting the vaccine. Hey, Doug, are you there?
are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, thank you. So thanks for taking my call. I'm on Otezla, and I've been vaccinated, but I haven't been able to find out from anybody accurately whether that's affecting the reliability of the vaccine for me.
Yeah,
I wonder what your opinion might be on that.
Yeah, Douglas, thanks for the question. I would tell you that we wouldn't be able to say at this point with great specificity whether there is some decrease in effectiveness of the vaccine for you. What I will tell you is that we do know that medications that we know can cause some depression of the body's immune response, people who have received the vaccine, for the most part, appear to be immune. It's worked. So I hope it's the same thing for you. I would definitely discuss this with the prescribing physician, though, who might have a little more updated information than I do, because it might be that you still might want to keep yourself out of certain situations, particularly indoors, where there's lots of people. But I would discuss that with the prescribing physician just to make sure.
Is it just me, or Douglas, does it sound like you're going to be doing 0 to 80?
Well, no, I'm driving, so
okay.
I had to get around somebody who I knew to be very, very slow. They do 25 and a 50, and I'm tired of that.
Well, listen, I hope that you appreciate Dr. Copen's answer, and we wish you well.
I do.
Oh, and then he hung up. Yeah. So, Doc, I know some long haulers. I have a brother-in-law who is on, arthritis drugs and got his first shot and got COVID and became very ill and was hospitalized. I also have a friend, same thing, in the hospital for 2 weeks. And both of them, out of nowhere, and it's not in their nature because they're very laid-back guys, but seem to have bouts of anxiety either as a result of COVID, either physically or mentally. Are you seeing that in your patients where that seems to be one of those reoccurring things for long haulers?
Yeah, there's unfortunately patients with the long haul symptoms of COVID that can include various psychological symptoms, including anxiety. So, yeah, we're definitely seeing that. There's a lot of work going on right now, not only in the United States, but around the world, cataloging these kinds of symptoms that people have, trying to really understand what's going on. And then what can we do to help people who continue to have these long-haul symptoms of various kinds?
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I sincerely appreciate it, and I hope you get out and enjoy some of this beautiful weather.
Yeah, let's hope so, though. I actually would like it to rain.
Me too. My garden is struggling.
Yeah. But otherwise, let's just enjoy it. Man, it's nice that summer's finally come. Lisa, great talking to you. Take good care.
Thank you so much. Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital.